Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Oklahoma told the Satanists to get lost, and now they've debuted this 9-foot statue in Detroit. They're now wanting to take it to Arkansas because there is a bill that was just passed about the Ten Commandments monument there. We're going to be talking about this insanity on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Matt Barber, the founder of barbedwire.com. Matt, they said that this was the so-called largest gathering of Satanists. I don't know if that's true. In Detroit, where they unveiled a 9-foot, 2,000-pound bronze statue of Satan, and they had dark punk bands playing on stage underneath a lighted upside-down crucifix. The organizers are hunting for a permanent home for this goat-headed occult statue that they have created. They wanted to put it in Oklahoma because Oklahoma had a placement of a Ten Commandments there in the public area, and they wanted to put this statue of Satan there. Oklahoma said, get lost. We don't want it. And then subsequently, unfortunately, the Court of Appeals said that Oklahoma has to remove the Ten Commandments. Well, the governor is resisting that right now, so that's a conflict going on in Oklahoma. In the meantime, there is a legislation that was passed in Arkansas to also allow the display of the Ten Commandments, and now these Satanists are trying to trek down to Arkansas to see if they can get this satanic statue displayed there as well.
Yeah, this is a goat-headed statue of Satan that has children standing below it, looking up at Satan adoringly, but there are those who are making the argument, Matt, that since the First Amendment guarantees freedom of religion, if that's the case and you allow a Christian symbol, in order to be consistent and in keeping with the First Amendment, you have to allow a satanic symbol or statue or something else as well. And this is utter nonsense. When read through the context of the United States Constitution, the original intent, and that what they meant by the freedom of religious expression at the time, we were talking about Christianity, and the Establishment Clause prohibited the federal government from recognizing as a state religion one particular branch of Christianity. Any other form of religion, especially Satanism, wasn't even under consideration.
Yeah, Brian Fisher wrote an article in barbedwire.com. And he's talking about this very issue. And he refers to former Supreme Court Justice Joseph Story. And he's writing about the First Amendment. He was the longest-serving associate justice in the Supreme Court history. He was appointed to the bench by James Madison, the so-called father of the Constitution, although there were other people who had a bigger hand in it than even James Madison did. But James Madison appointed him. Justice Story was a Christian jurist on the Supreme Court, and he said this about the First Amendment. Quote, "The real object of the First Amendment was not to countenance, much less to advance, Mohammedanism, which is Islam, or Judaism, or infidelity, by prostrating Christianity, but to exclude all rivalry among Christian sects and to prevent any national ecclesiastical establishment which should give to a hierarchy the exclusive patronage of the national government." So he's talking about the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment. Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion. That the primary purpose of that was not to prostrate Christianity to Islam or Judaism, but rather to exclude all rivalry among the different sects, between Episcopalians, different kinds of Baptists and Anglicans, whatever it might be. It was to exclude the rivalry among the sects, so that one sect wasn't predominant over the other or preferred over the other, so that in certain situations you wouldn't have a national established church that would establish a particular sect. So the nation wouldn't select one of these sects, such as Episcopalianism, and say, we're all going to give a tithe to support the Episcopal Church. That was what it was designed to do, so that Congress itself could not establish a national church.
Well, that's right. And by contrast, it also, that statement and the clear writings of our founders and the clear original intent of the framers of the Constitution, when you look at the free exercise clause in it here, as Fisher writes here, then secondly, the aim of the First Amendment was to prevent Congress from interfering with the free exercise of the Christian religion anywhere in the new nation. He says, so Satanism was neither affirmed nor rejected under the First Amendment for the simple reason that Satanism, like every other one of the world's alternative religions, was simply not under discussion at all. So the free exercise of religion was not even in the context of talking about all of these other man-made religions. It was talking about the free exercise of Christianity. That is just a historical fact.
Yeah, and he goes on to say that the First Amendment allowed the states to have a lot of freedom within the issue of religion. And he goes back and he quotes Justice Story again. He says, quote, the whole power over the subject of religion is left exclusively to the state governments to be acted upon according to their own sense of justice and the state constitutions. And that's why the states have their own individual constitutions regarding free exercise of religion and establishment of religion. That's a states' rights issue. In fact, Thomas Jefferson, when he said in that letter to the Danbury Baptist that there should be a wall of separation between church and state, he only used that one time. He never used it before. He never used it after that. In the context of that letter, and clearly in the context of his other letters nearby that same writing, it's clear what he says, that the First Amendment is saying the same thing as the Tenth Amendment. He actually says that. What's the Tenth Amendment say? The powers not delegated to Congress remain the power of the states. What the First Amendment specifically says is Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion. In other words, the Tenth Amendment is a general catch-all. What we haven't given to Congress as a power belongs as a power to the states. The First Amendment is a specific, not generic, this specific issue of religion is not the power of the federal government. It is something left to the states. So this whole idea that it's unconstitutional to display the Ten Commandments under the United States Constitution is absolutely ludicrous. It is contrary to the Constitution itself.
Yeah, Matt, my friend Hank Hanegraaff, the Bible Answer Man radio show, he often says, text without context is pretext. And what we're talking about here, they're taking the text of the First Amendment, they're abandoning the context of when that text was written, what the intent was at that time, what the history was, and what the climate was at that time, and they're using it out of, they're taking the text out of context in order to create a pretext that somehow the First Amendment would require Satanist statues to be allowed alongside statues of the First Amendment. Well, the historical record, the constitutional record, everything is clear that that's not the case. And so this is a disingenuous effort, and it is not a First Amendment mandate that the statue of Satan be allowed. In fact, it's ludicrous to suggest that that is the case.
Well, in fact, the Ten Commandments is consistent with our history. It certainly influenced Western civilization and influenced our American law and government. We have a booklet on the Ten Commandments and American law and government that we would encourage you to get. You can go to lc.org and order that. It's a very fascinating read. We've actually presented that information in various court cases in our Ten Commandments litigation. But it's been part and parcel of who we are. It's shaped our law and government. It has shaped our common vernacular. And we haven't had lots of satanic symbols or Satan statutes that shaped our vernacular or our law and policy. In fact, none. So it is completely inappropriate to have that there. The Ten Commandments is completely appropriate. It's the same kind of thing that we deal with at Christmas. A nativity scene is completely appropriate at Christmas time, or a menorah during that same time frame, but not some kind of solstice or winter solstice or some kind of satanic kind of symbol. That is nonsense. For more information, go to Liberty Council's website, lc.org or libertycouncil.com. Again, the websites are lc.org or libertycouncil.com. Order the booklet, The Ten Commandments in American Law and Government. This issue of the Ten Commandments is something that is part and parcel of what shaped America, literally what shaped Western civilization. These Ten Commandments have profoundly shaped law and government. In fact, one of the first compilations, the very first compilation of the common law in world history begins, it's called the Book of Dooms, with what? The Ten Commandments at the very front of that book. Why? Because the Ten Commandments was the foundation of all of our common law and our jurisprudence. For more information, visit lc.org, order the booklet, The Ten Commandments in American Law and Government. Or you can go to libertycouncil.com and sign up for our numerous emails for Liberty Council and Liberty Council Action. One's on religious liberty and law and policy. The other is on issues of advocacy. That's libertycouncil.com.
You have been listening to Faith and Freedom with Matt Staver of Liberty Council. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Working together, we can make a difference. Get informed and stay involved. Visit Liberty Council's website at lc.org. That's lc.org. And tune in next time right here for Faith and Freedom.